Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
Now it's time for the takeover.
Buckle up for Kobe. Kobe Bryant just sucked the gravity out of the target center.
Not the game. We talking about practice, man.
That's it.
There is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence. If you ain't first, you're last.
And there you have it, folks. We are back. It is episode 160 of the Takeover Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Seekert. I know it's been a little bit. Life gets crazy at times, but we'll never go away. That's the beauty of this podcast. And guess who else is here? The man that makes it happen behind the camera, Sean DeVille. Four new tires on your car. How we doing?
Doing great besides my bank account. Let me say that.
Yeah, you want to tell everyone what happened?
Yeah, basically I've had the same tires since 2018 when I graduated high school. And they caught, you know, life caught up to me. And they're running on wires, actually. I found out when I was on the tow truck. He was like, "Hey, you got wires exposed." And I was like, "Oh, that makes sense why it couldn't hold tire pressure for more than a day." So yeah, I missed work yesterday, had to stay at home cause I didn't have a car. I had to Lime scooter myself all the way down to Tire Center because my roommates were all gone, but you know, it was a beautiful day out. So it was honestly a great bike ride. They kind of made fun of me. They're like, "Oh, you really hated driving that bike over you. We could have picked you up." And I was like, "No, honestly, like it was a great day. It was super nice out and I had a grand old time." And I put my credit card down.
I love it.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. And it could have been worse, right? The tires didn't pop. It was just, they were just, you know, getting flat still.
Yeah. It's worn out.
Exactly. But you know who doesn't get worn out?
Who?
He wears number 63, the center.
Oh.
For Boise State football. Don't know if you read the title of the video,
Is that a guest today?
We have a very special guest, Sean. It's not about us, remember?
Nope.
Never is.
This is the first minute.
Mason Randolph. Welcome to the show. How are we doing?
I'm doing phenomenal. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Welcome. I know we've had some of your teammates on in the past, and then now we got the man himself, Mason Randolph, thigh tattoo, the big story that offseason. But I want to go all the way back. You're Belinda, California.
Oh, yeah.
I was watching some of your huddle, too. Right tackle?
Yeah. I played everything.
Okay.
I played tight end freshman year.
Okay.
Right guard. And then I played right tackle, and then I played left tackle.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess growing up, were you just all over the offensive line, like in Pee Wee, middle school? Like, how'd that go?
So I only played 1 year of Pop Warner, because I was so big. I was so much bigger than everybody. I had to lose, like, 50 pounds to even play my first season of Pop Warner. And I ended up playing tight end. I think I did play a little bit of center. D tackle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so you were just a freaking unit.
Yeah, I was big. I was like taller than everybody too. I was probably 6'1" already as like an eighth grader.
What?
Yeah.
6'1" in eighth grade.
Yeah, I didn't grow too much once I got to high school, but it's pretty tall.
Cause what, you're 6'4" now?
Yeah.
Dude, 6'1" in eighth. How much did you weigh?
I was like 180 because I had to cut down to 180, but I was like 220 as like a seventh grader.
Oh my, okay. Yeah. Popcorn Warner, Mason Randolph. Okay. Oh, yeah. Dude, so you're Belinda. Mike Callahan was also a guest. Did you know him in high school?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Mike was a senior when I was a freshman. I don't think I got to play with him. I might have played with him my last year.
Okay.
I can't remember if he was a junior or a senior.
Okay. How old are you now?
22.
22.
Yeah, I turned 23 this year.
I think Callahan's 24, 25.
Yeah, but he's young for his class. I know I've had that conversation with him.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He might have been a junior when I was a freshman.
Okay. So, did you guys ever hang out, or was he, like, too cool because he was, like, upperclassman?
I never really hung out with anybody in high school.
Okay.
I was much so a loner.
Okay. Okay, what'd you like to do in your free time? I guess what? Just like watch film?
sat there, played video games. Huge Pokemon nerd, so there's that.
Okay. I was gonna say, on your tattoos, I noticed, did you have a Pokemon tattoo?
I do. Yeah, I have a Snorlax on my knee.
Snorlax, okay. Yeah. It's all making sense now. Okay. Do you have a favorite Pokemon? Is it the Snorlax?
Yeah, Snorlax is super cool. What else do I like? I like Garchomp. Super cool. I love that one.
Okay. Did you ever collect the cards?
I did when I was in elementary school.
Okay.
And then I kind of, not necessarily grew out of it, but it was just difficult for me because I didn't have money. And my mom was like, I'm not going to justify spending this much money on cards that you're just not going to use.
Completely fair. Dude, yeah. I was collecting cards too when I was younger. And then my mom was just like, hey, like, I can't keep forking out all this money. Because we'd go to like, what are some of the stores like back in the day, Hastings or like a Target?
Okay. Yeah, Target.
You go to the card section immediately, right? Oh, I beeline it.
Mm-hmm. Just looking at them.
Yeah, just looking at them like, which one today? Mom's like, nope.
Walk by and put it in her card.
Yeah, without her looking.
And she's like, she lets you think you got her. And then she gets to the checkout and she's like, nah.
As she's unloading the cart, you're like, come on. Be in a good mood today.
Yeah.
But yeah, back to football. So high school, on the huddle, it looks like, did you find a home at right tackle like your senior year? What were you mostly playing?
So what was it? It was my sophomore year. I played guard. And then junior year, I played right tackle.
Okay.
And that was really when we had a full season because my senior year was COVID. So I was playing left tackle during that COVID year. I also missed a couple games because I got super sick, but I didn't have COVID.
Oh, okay. Thank goodness.
I got super sick. Yeah.
Okay. So you just the whole high school career, were you recruited as a tackle though?
I was recruited as a guard.
A guard.
They told me their plan for me was to play guard and even move me to center.
Okay.
And that was Bedell. Yeah.
Gotcha. And you had a pretty decent amount of offers. It was UNLV, Arizona State.
Yep.
And then you committed to Boise State.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever get an offer from Boise State?
Yeah.
I'm sure. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
So I got offered from Boise. I remember it was after one of my wrestling tournaments, and Coach Bedell was like, they'd been in contact with me. Obviously, they knew who I was because Nate Cardona, he played here as well. He went to high school. He was only 1 year above me.
Okay.
So it was me. It was Mike first, and then Nate, and then me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that about Nate.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, pipeline and Nova Linda. Okay.
Yeah.
So what made Boise State stand out from those other schools?
You know, a big reason for me was obviously because my senior year when I started getting, or my junior year is when COVID started, and then senior year just carried through. I couldn't really go on any visits anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the day that COVID kind of shut everything down in California, I was going to go on a visit to USC, and they called my head coach and were like, hey, we can't anymore. Like, Newsom just shut everything down. We can't have anybody Gavin. On campus. Yeah. So I had Nate and Mike kind of helping me guide through everything and being in contact with them and seeing what Boise was about. I was just like, yeah, I'd love to go there with those guys and have some home away from home with them.
Yeah. Okay, and so when you got to Boise, your first impression, seeing the city, seeing the turf, what was it?
My first impression, I was super disoriented because it was my senior year. It was during the spring game, and there was no official visits. They weren't allowed to let anybody in the facility or anything like that because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So I just came on my own with my family, and we just kind of toured the city, but I was still had like 100-degree fever. So I was just like, where am I? Kind of thing.
Sick boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
First impression of Coach Danielson when you met him?
Super intense all the time. Yeah.
Okay.
He's just on go. He's awesome though.
Cause he's like a lightning energy guy, man. Right? Man.
It's insane.
5 a.m. All right, here we go. Let's go.
Yeah, I wasn't around him too much just because that was when he was D.C., my freshman year. But my best friend, roommate Marco, he was with him every day because he was the linebacker coach and everything. And just hearing stories from him, I was like, wow, that is severely different from what we go through.
Okay, and because you got to campus, what, 2021 fall or spring?
Yeah, like the summer.
Summer?
Yeah.
Like July, August?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then your red shirt.
Mm-hmm.
did you make that decision, or were the coaches like, hey, Mason, redshirt, let's put a redshirt on you? Or how did that process go down?
It wasn't really like a sit-down conversation like, hey, we're going to redshirt you. It was just like an understanding of everything, like, okay, I got to earn in order to play, and I'm not playing right now, so it's just like best opportunity is to redshirt right now and not burn this year of eligibility.
There you go.
Yeah.
So then once you did that, fast forward to 2022, your redshirt freshman year, you get playing time, a lot of playing time. You played 10 games, and you didn't allow a single sack. Was that redshirt year a testament of you kind of like learning, or do you think, I mean, what was it? How did you develop so quick without allowing a sack? That's impressive stuff.
Thank you. I think for sure definitely developing and learning everything from those guys. Like, I was scout team and going against Scott Matlock every single day. And
oh, wow.
Phenomenal player. Like, he's in the league for a reason. Getting to go against him and have him make me get better and surrounding myself with fellow teammates who wanted to get better was awesome. I also think the language of football comes very easy to me. I have like certain hyperfixations. So like I was saying, Pokemon and stuff like that, like tattoos and like stuff with the body. And football is one of those ones where I'm just like all in. Like, I want to learn everything about everything that could happen at any time. So I was just sitting there just like absorbing all the information I could. And once I got my opportunity, obviously, it was with Oregon State. It was my first game I ever played when we played there. And true freshman games your true first start are usually your kind of like, oh, man.
Let's get the rust
going.
This
is a big jump from what I'm used to. And, you know, I knocked some people around and learned from that. I think a big growing thing for me was actually playing in games. Like, that's where it, like, put everything together. And I was like, boom, boom, boom. Okay, this is what it's actually like.
When do you feel like, I guess just when you get into the locker room or even when it's game day, when, because everyone has that switch and it flips at different times for different people. When does that switch flip for you? Is it putting on the pads? Is it the tunnel? Like, when does that switch flip?
I think of it, obviously, like the flip switch kind of happens probably right before we take the field. Like, we're on the sideline already after warm-up, but I think of it more of like a slow burn.
Okay.
That's what our coach always said, and I like it a lot. Uh-huh. I wake up and I'm ready to go. Like, I wake up, I have my whole routine, like showering and everything, and going to breakfast if we have time, depending on when the game is. Get into the locker room, and it's just a slow build before we actually start hitting someone.
What kind of food do you like for breakfast? You a sweet? Are you a savory guy?
Probably more sweet, but I'm not a huge breakfast guy.
Oh.
I do not eat a huge breakfast whatsoever.
Okay.
It's very difficult for me to eat in the morning.
Okay. Is that just like keeping it down, or is it just like you're just never hungry? Or
I think it's a little bit of the hunger, and obviously, like, we're getting up early and we're working out like early in the morning, and
yeah,
I think it's something that I've accidentally trained, like, I can't keep food down during those workouts.
And I'm sure, because they're obviously very intense.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure you don't eat breakfast on the days you're doing the decks and all that, right?
I'll get up early for those just to make sure. Like, I've started doing it where I'm like, okay, I'm going to get up at 4 a.m. so I can eat before we run these decks at 10.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
So, like, the body, like, it's fully digested and everything.
Exactly. So I don't even have to worry about it, but I've got the fuel in me.
Is that the worst workout? Decks? I hear horror stories.
Decks are gnarly. Personally, for me, it's not the worst because I can kind of turn my brain off. I know it's just one simple straight line, and I just got to do them because everybody else is doing them. And I just got to get up to the top. The hardest ones for me are probably like mat drills and stuff like that, because it's the combination of the fatigue you're going through with everything and listening. So if you're tired and you can't follow directions, you get sent to the pit and you're just doing up downs the whole time until you have to do it again.
Jesus. Yeah. Okay. So what's a mat workout? What are mats?
So mat drills, we normally start them off. We're doing these like stations. We're broken up into like O-line, tight ends, running back. Like, everybody goes to their each individual drill, and then we'll rotate. So it's like we're doing like a figure eight run for as long as the clock runs. And then we're doing sled pushes, and then another drill, wall slams, like with the med ball and stuff like that. And we'll go through, I think, was it 8 or 9 rotations?
Okay.
And then we get out onto the blue, and it's cold. It's like right when we get back in January from everything, and there's snow everywhere, and everybody gets set up in these lines, and then you run down, and you're broken up into 2 sets of 4. Everybody takes their spots, and they're just looking at the coach waiting for him to give a direction. He'll point one way, he'll point another way, and you just got to shuffle,
okay,
turn, up, down.
Okay.
And he'll just keep going until the coach is done, and then you got to follow these specific rules, otherwise you get sent back.
Yeah. Okay, so I have seen that drill. So that's the listening aspect you're talking about.
Yeah.
Left, right, up, down. Okay. Mm-hmm. After doing all those stations,
mm-hmm,
wow, okay, I can see why that can be pretty tough.
For sure.
So, this year, mm-hmm, this last year, this whole wager you made with running back Ashton Jeanty, how did that start?
It just kind of came about in the weight room.
Uh-huh.
We were working out one day, probably sometime around now, mm-hmm, like when we're doing our workouts, and I just saw him. It was after like one of the squats days or something like that, and he had like 580 pounds.
It's 600,
like,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, man. And his hair was looking super long. I was like, let me talk to you real quick, Ashton. So I stopped him in the middle of the lift, and I just was like, if you get 2,000 rushing yards, we get to cut your hair. And he was like, oh, yeah, I like that. In reality, it's like a double negative for him. He succeeds, and he has to cut his hair off. So then after a couple what was it, like a month or two, he came back to me. He was like, we gotta figure
wait,
this out.
I've been sitting on this. I thought about it. I thought about it.
Yeah. So then we got it to where it was, if he doesn't get 2,000, then he has to cut his hair. And he was like, well, what do you want to do? I was like, well, I have a lot of tattoos. I like getting tattoos. I'll just get it tattooed on my body because it's cool to be a part of that.
And that is such a win-win for you, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of those rare bets where it's like you lost technically, mm-hmm, but you still won.
For sure.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you got his autograph and 2,000, not just like barely 2,000 yards, 2,600 yards.
Yeah.
And he was a runner-up, should have won the Heisman.
Mm-hmm.
Dude,
if
like,
he won the Heisman, I would have got something crazy for that too.
Really? What would you have gotten?
I would have got a picture of him doing the Heisman, but in a place that nobody could see it. For myself.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that would have been nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should have won that freaking award, dude.
Yeah, for sure.
Who's the tattoo artist?
His name's Tony. He works at Chariot Tattoo. He does a phenomenal job. He did my hand tattoo, my hummingbird.
Okay.
And then, you know, Ahmed.
Yeah.
He did Ahmed's whole sleeve.
Oh, so he's the guy.
Oh, for sure.
You said Tony?
Yeah.
Tony, shout out, man.
Tony at Chariot.
You're crushing it, man.
Yeah.
This is beautiful stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Where's that tattoo shop at?
It's downtown.
Okay.
Where is it? Right across the street from, like, Silly Birch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Dude, you know what that looks like? It looks like the interior. Have you ever been inside Western proper?
Yeah.
I think it just closed
it's
down.
It's right around there.
I was going to say, that looks like just like the interior of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. How much can you squat?
What is my squat? I haven't maxed in a while.
Yeah, those are some quads, man.
Thank you. Yeah, I think my last squat I did was a triple, and it was, 540-something, 545 or something like that for 3.
That's pretty
solid. There's a video of it on the Boise State Instagram page or my Instagram page.
You carrying around Ashton after that? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
Oh,
they didn't even get the best
ago.
Part. This one, they cut it off. Marco's right there. He, like, stops and, like, grabs my head.
Really?
It's so funny. Just, like, a loving embrace.
Yeah, I wish they didn't cut that part off.
Oh, it's right there, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
It's good stuff.
Oh, there, yep.
The camera's not really in focus, but there's, like, tears rolling down my face.
Maddox with the short hair.
Oh, yeah.
So that chalk slap on the shoulders, that's obviously to hype you up, right?
Yeah, I think the chalk is just more for like visual effect. The smack is to hype me up. Oh,
okay.
Man, I wish they kept recording after this. I smoked Roger. I headbutted him so hard.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my lord.
When I lift heavy, I have to get to a real, real dark place in my brain. And
Okay.
Like I said, I was crying when I was squatting this just because, like, I knew I had to do it.
Oh, I couldn't even tell.
I just tell myself, like, just some really messed up stuff. But I finish it. I'm blacked out. And I turn around and I want to hit somebody. First person I see is Maddox. I'm like, I can't hit Maddox.
No, that's quarterback.
And I turn around and I see Troy Wilkie right there, the smallest one.
And you don't want to headbutt Hilgard.
He'll die. Yeah. He'll so then keep... I see Roger and I'm like, perfect timing.
Sorry, Roger. Sorry about the forehead, my man. Okay, great stuff. Speak a little more about your tattoos. Can I kind of know a little bit more about what you got going on? I know
My bicep.
Your bicep?
The little knife going through it.
And that was the injury against Georgia Southern.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's a knife. I'm sure there's some symbolism there.
Yeah, I just thought it looked cool. It was cool to add some, like, obviously this was very defining for me and having everything taken away with the injury and that whole season pretty much. And mm-hmm. But as a reminder of, like, if you put your mind to it, you can come back from anything. Like, they told me my season was done, game one. And seeing the team succeed and having all that success without me, it's tough, but it's like I was happy for those guys. But I wanted to be out there and have that success with them. And being able to work my way back was super cool. So it was a super cool reminder.
And especially you made it back to senior day.
Yeah.
Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what was that just like the best feeling ever? Like you did it.
Awesome. It was surreal. I'm like standing there. I'm like, I feel the cold air. It's like, I just felt like my senses were like super heightened, just like so aware of my surroundings and where I was at. It was phenomenal.
Everything was brighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really was. Yeah. I don't think I've seen colors that bright since I was a little kid.
Day game on the blue as well.
Oh man.
Bright and early.
Perfect weather. The sun's out and it's cold.
Yep.
Oh, it was awesome. Not to mention being able to play with Roger again, like,
yep.
Cause he had that injury in week two against Oregon. Being there with him and
yeah.
having to go through all of our rehab together and being able to push each other and getting to watch him play the week before, I was like, you lucky.
I'm next. Get me out there.
Yeah.
Wow. I know we talked about it before we recorded, but kind of walk me through that bicep pop, Georgia Southern. I mean, on what play was it? Did you immediately know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was telling you, it was play 63. Super... I don't know if it's
coincidental.
Yeah, it's gnarly. but yeah, so it was just a regular play, like pass. And they brought a little interior twist. I don't know if it was on purpose or because Ben kind of like washed his guy down into me. But I'm blocking my guy. I'm like fully extended and he kind of crosses my face this way. And the other defensive tackle hit my hip and immediately I just felt it go. Up into me. Didn't hurt at all, but I knew. I was like, oh, wait, something's wrong. So I, like, stop, and I, like, look at the sideline. I'm, like, tapping my head. And I'm like, what's going on? And they're just staring at me because the play's still going on. They can't do anything. And, of course, Maddox walks by. He's like, Mason, stand up. We got to finish the game. I was like, my bicep's gone, Maddox.
What'd he say? Did you remember?
He was like, oh.
Oh. Just kept walking. Okay. Oh man, so then you get to the tent and then you mentioned before, whoops, geez, I'm freaking knocking everything over. So then the doctor says, yeah, so yeah. Your bicep's gone.
Well, it's even worse because like on the field too, so they finally get on the field and I'm sitting there and there and two trainers, Garrett and Mikey, and they come out and they're feeling around and there you can feel if your bicep tendon's there and they're feeling it. They're just looking around and they both feel it and then they hand it to the other person and then that person feels it and then they look at each other and they just kind of had like this look of like, mm-mm. I was like, oh, they're like, all right, let's get to the tent. I was like, oh, wait a sec. As a center and a quarterback, if you get hurt, you're told to like stay down mm-hmm. for a little bit. Just so the backup can warm up. Cause it's like, you can't just be thrown into snapping a ball right away or throwing a ball right away. Like you got to get warmed up to it. So they were like, oh, let's get to town. I was like, just give Zach a couple more snaps. Like let him get warmed up if I'm going to be done for a little bit.
Oh my goodness. But congrats on making it back, man.
Yeah,
and I was curious. So in your career so far, who's like the best defensive player that you've gone up against?
Defensive player?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
After all these years.
I mean, who was it? What was his name? His name, there was a linebacker my freshman year. He played at Oregon State. He played at LSU the year before. He's in the NFL now. He plays for like the Rams or something like that. He was really good, especially going my first game.
Oh,
so, I mean, I couldn't really have any way to compare that at that time. But I think.
Oh, what is his name?
It starts with an R.
Okay. I usually know ball, but that's a deep one.
Yeah. He was really good. And then who else has been really good? There was a defensive tackle from Nevada that same redshirt freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
He was just super unsound and just like kind of did whatever he want. And that just makes it so much harder to block somebody because it's like, I know there's bringing pressure here mm-hmm. and there's only so many gaps for him to fit in,
mm-hmm.
but he's just doing whatever he wants. So I can like put myself here knowing he's going to go here, but he just was like, go completely around me. I was like, oh man. So that made him super difficult to block. He was really good.
Jackson Woodard's, anyone on Penn State was, no.
Oh, Penn State was phenomenal. Like, their whole defensive front was really good. So okay. I don't really count that as one player. I count them as a
unit.
Cohesive unit. Yeah, yeah. They were firing on all cylinders.
Dude, they are just littered with NFL players.
Yeah.
I mean, not only this year, but then they got more guys next year that are going to be ready. I mean, I was like, holy smokes.
Oh, yeah. It was completely different.
I bet. Mm-hmm. Is it just like just bigger, faster, stronger?
I think
technique.
So every once in a while, you'll get a team where it's like, okay, let's take one of their defensive tackles and put them on like another team. And you'll be like, that's their best defensive tackle. It was, like I said, their entire defensive line was stacked with all those players. And I was like, oh man, there's no one player where we can really pick on. They're all going to be really good.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure like film room, you kind of circle a guy. It's like, all right, we can minimize him or maybe a couple, maybe a safety or a DN. But then, yeah, Penn State literally has safeties, their linebackers, their whole D-line.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Not to mention they ran like a completely different defense than anything they had ran for, not any, but like they ran it early in the season and then they stopped running it. And then they get to us and they were running it. They had like Abdul Carter like off the ball. Like playing linebacker back.
Weird.
On like the first play, and I look at him, I was like, oh man, what do I do?
As a center,
your job is to like ID the front and get everyone basically on the same page. And I look at it, I was like, there's like three guys that I could say we should go to right here. And I don't think if I can anybody, it would be right.
Okay. And so I'm curious, as a center, usually like you're never like mic'd up or kind of getting on a hot mic on TV when, you know, spectators are watching. So are you're communicating with the whole offensive line and Maddox?
Yep. And the running back.
And the running back.
On certain plays.
Okay.
Like pass pro, we need the tailback dialed in on where we're going to so he knows who he has.
Okay. So when you have the ball and you're talking to Ashton, how do you communicate with him if he's all the way back there standing like Michael Myers?
Oh, dude. My favorite play I've ever had was in that Georgia Southern game. And it wasn't anything physical I did. It was just like, the communication we had was just the most elite communication I think I've ever had in my entire life. It was third down. I don't know what number play it was, but it was third down. Big, big down for us because we were still like firing, like trying to score because they were still in the game.
Just a teeter-totter.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was third down, big third down, and they had seven up, like everybody on the line. And as a center, like if you're trying to communicate, you sit down. And so the quarterback knows not to snap it. And then that lets everybody else on the offensive line know, like, okay, we got to sit down and talk this through. So we sat down, we're like pointing it out, and Ashton walks up. He's like, where are we going? Because there's so many people up here. I'm like, I'm going here. You're going over here. I'm just yelling, directing traffic pretty much. And we picked up the first down. So
that's all that matters.
Exactly.
Wow.
I'm
okay.
Sure we scored too.
Yeah, there was a lot of touchdowns, a lot of plays Ashton scored in that game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah. What was it like blocking for him?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
Blocking for his whole career, because that's when I started playing too, was when he got on campus.
Yeah.
It was super sick, like seeing his growth and everything like that. And just knowing whenever he touched the ball, there was that opportunity like, oh, this might go. And then especially once you understand like the fronts and like what we're trying to get, like, oh, they're giving us what we want. This might go. And it was like, oh, it did.
You're kind of licking your chops like, all right, let's see it.
Uh-huh.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Do you have like a Kobe story for Ashton yet in your career where it's like when you knew he was going to be like special, or was there ever like a
kinda? Okay. I mean, it was that fall camp right before season started. He'd been on campus. He got in spring, so mm-hmm. he was here early. It was fall camp practice, and they had us go into Rocky, and it was a scrimmage. Probably the hottest day, and the turf was just like melting everybody's cleats, and it was like a 3 or 4 hour scrimmage. Like, it was insane, and I knew like everybody was tired. I'm like, I blocked somebody, and like somebody tripped me, and I like fell down, and I look up, and Ashton's just like at the end of the scrimmage, just still jumping over people. He jumped over, I think it was Isaiah Bagna. He jumped over him. And I was like, oh man.
Wait, yeah, he's real.
That's crazy.
Isaiah, he was legit.
Tall dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's when they had him playing linebacker.
Yeah, he was athletic enough where he could do that.
Yeah, they moved him to Will.
Okay. Right here. Mason, question for you.
For sure.
If you were granted one change to college football right now, and it can be in any aspect to make it better, what would you wish for?
Steroids.
Really? That's the best answer.
Yeah, I think I would legalize steroids. Make everybody healthier, everybody faster. It would make the sport more entertaining.
Okay.
It would be at the detriment of the player, but they would mm-hmm. have to understand that risk before going into it.
So, yeah, you're not like, it's just like you now have the choice to like, hey, you can do this. It's legal.
Yeah.
Or you don't have to.
Exactly.
Would you do it?
Oh, for sure. I think about it all the time.
Without question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think like steroids more for like rehabbing injuries or just
yeah.
more strength?
A little bit of both. Like obviously okay. you get these guys who are genetic freak shows.
And yeah.
they're going to do what they're going to do regardless, maybe a little bit better with some steroids. But I think the biggest thing is, like you said, the injuries and
yeah.
being able to.
I've talked about that with my friends just for like every sport. Like players get caught using quote unquote steroids for trying to get back from an injury.
And yeah.
it gets looped into the same hole as like what Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire were doing where, yeah. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't know what could do it, but I'm sure there's a way they could use it for, at least just for the injury side. Like,
yeah,
I don't know that stuff.
I'm like, facilitate everything. Yeah. And get
who
everything
wants players to be injured for long periods of time?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody. Mm-hmm. I like that, Sean. Yeah, even with the injuries and the steroid era in baseball, that was the best
that
era in baseball.
That was the best.
Yeah. That was like, that was like the best sport in America.
Yeah.
I mean,
now baseball's losing viewership to dudes doing TikTok dances.
Exactly.
Banana ball. Like, that's why.
Oh, yeah. The Savannah Bananas.
We drove by their stadium.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. in Georgia.
Uh huh.
Yeah, we drove by. I was like, that looks really familiar.
They have their own, like, legit stadium.
I'm pretty sure it was the Savannah Banana Stadium.
That's crazy.
They've been doing it there for years. Yeah. Now they're, like, on a world tour, but.
Yeah. So are they like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball? Is that how you compare it? Because I'm seeing TikToks.
Kind of. They have like competitive games though. They've always said like the Bananas don't always win. Like they'll play the Party Animals or whatever. The
Party Animals, yeah. I've seen them.
Sometimes they'll lose. Like it's a competitive game. They just have like, personally, I don't love all the TikTok dances. I get the idea of like the, I don't know, entertainment based.
And yeah, appealing to the younger audience and yeah, everyone.
But also like
a casual fan.
Yeah. If you're not enjoying baseball, then
don't watch it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the pitch clock helps.
Yeah.
I mean, the star players are getting to the World Series. It's getting a little bit better. Mm-hmm. But
steroids.
Steroids. Yeah. Fernando Tatis.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got caught.
And he's still doing great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if everyone was on steroids,
it would just be so much better. Like, could you imagine? Miles Garrett, peak performance.
Dude.
Just roided up.
Tackles would be so pissed.
Not a single person blocked. Or Aaron Donald. Like, you had Dude. Aaron Donald on steroids. Everybody's done.
It's over.
Aaron Judge hitting baseballs on steroids.
Well, and the thing is, if you're in that division,
I'm like, I'm taking so many steroids.
I have to take steroids now, or else my job's on the line.
I'm like asking his agent what his stack is, and I'm tripling it.
Yeah, HGH. Mm. I need this amount of dosage in the mouth, in the leg, wherever I can get it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No. If Miles Garrett on steroids would be JJ Watt on steroids.
Oh man. Hey, Gronk, help him with those injuries,
dude.
Ashton.
Yeah, Ash.
DK Metcalf.
Oh, man.
Dude.
You go on and on. Like, these are the genetic freaks I'm talking about. Like, it would just make them so much better.
Yeah, we need to get, like Hunter Renfro on steroids.
Yeah.
Just be a freaking little...
Cooper DeGene.
Just a beast on the Panthers running around. All right, so here's something that's not talked about enough. 4 out of 5 of you guys are coming back next year.
Yeah.
The band's back, but, I mean, Dooley, he did great. Obviously, if he wanted to play another year, he could have.
Yeah.
But you guys need a nickname.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys need a – I mean, is there anything – have you guys talked about that? Like
as a unit?
Yeah, like a group unit.
We just go by OLP, O-Line Pride.
O-Line Pride, yeah. OLP. Okay. Well, I thought of a couple nicknames, and I just kind of want to let you guys. Sean, you can rate them. I was going to say, Mason, rate them 1 to 10.
Yeah, we'll both rate them.
Yeah, just 1 to 10, 10 obviously being a great nickname for the Boise State offensive line. Do we know who's going to be left guard yet, or is that still up for debate?
No, we're still fighting for that spot.
Yeah. Okay, so the unit, once it's all solidified, here's the first one. Okay, rate my nickname for the Boise State offensive line. The Blue Collar Bruisers.
Okay.
So, right, play on words, the blue-collar mentality.
Yeah.
And then bruisers, obviously. Yeah, trenches. So, what do we think? 1 to 10.
Bruiser, yeah. What if you did bullies? Blue-collar bullies.
That's good.
That's a good one.
I like that
Okay,
one.
Sean. Cosine. Yeah. All right, I see you. This is good.
Yeah, I'll probably give it like a 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 7. I want to see what else you have.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's tough.
That's the first one.
We got
to
go for
it. We got... 6 more?
Okay.
Okay. The Potato Pounders.
Ooh.
Personally, I like that one.
Yeah.
Because then you got State of Idaho. Yeah, I don't need to explain that one.
I like that one. That one's probably higher. I'd probably bump the last one down to a 7, put that at 8.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll give that an 8 as well.
Solid 8. Okay. The Smurf Turf Sentries with an S, not a C. It's like a sentry gun, you know, sentry. Mm.
I think that'd be good for, like, the quarterback room.
Yeah. Oh, because they're firing.
Yeah,
they're shooting darts. Players. Okay.
Yeah.
What about those Smurf Turf, like, Surge? That's a little bit better?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll do that one. What do you think?
Potato Pounders are still...
Potato Pounders are still up there.
Yeah.
I'd probably put the...
Give it a 6.
Yeah, 6.
I was going to say, that wasn't really my favorite one. Had to put it on the list, though.
Yep.
Yeah. Never know. The Statue of Liberators.
Ooh.
A little historic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know kind of what we're known for.
Yeah.
What do we think?
I like that one.
Okay. That one's an 8 as well.
Yeah,
I like that with potato.
Yeah. God, what? I need to get a 9 here or a 10. Next one, Danielson's Dozers. Bulldozer, ooh. Danielson's Dozers.
I would probably give that one a 9.
Yeah. Come on, Sean, what do we think?
I still like the other two better. I'm going to give that a 7.
Okay. Well, I know you like the Potato Pounders. What was the other one? Blue collar one.
The Statue of Liberty one.
Statue of Libertators.
Liberators.
Libertators. Wait. You cooked. Let me edit that.
The Libertators.
There will be t-shirts.
Statue of Liberty.
Soon. Libertators. Sean DeVille.
That was an oopsie.
I'm going to put an asterisk next to that one. Okay. Yeah. Gem State Grinders.
That is a good one. Probably put it like 8, 7.5, 8.
Okay.
Yeah, 7.5 is comfortable.
Okay. Biblical pun here. Jeremiah's wall. Jeremiah Dickey is involved here, but not the head coach, the athletic director.
Yeah. Right. I like that one.
I give that a 9.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That one's solid.
Yeah, I'll put that 8.5
right
in that area.
Gives, you know, JD some love.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
He deserves it.
Yeah.
I'll play for JD.
And this one was just for you.
Okay.
This last one's kind of like honorable mention for fun.
Okay.
Would you consider yourself, like, are you like redhead?
Because
this kind of matters.
My beard gets a little red.
Okay.
Depending on the lighting.
Because I was going to say Randolph the Redhead Center.
I'm like Rudolph.
I'll take it. Yeah, Rudolph. I get called Rudolph a lot.
Yeah.
My high school coaches call me Randy.
Okay.
Like, everybody back home, everybody calls me Randy, but I never introduced myself as Randy out here, so everybody calls me Mason.
Okay. Because Spencer Claus, Randolph, the Redhead Center.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say, you guys could be all the reindeer.
Oh.
Yeah. You seen it now?
I see the vision.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So that's why I was like, if you got red hair, couldn't tell, but that would have made it a lot better.
Yeah.
Something to think on.
I like that one.
Okay, so what's the winner? What do you think? What was the best one? Top three, it sounded like the Potato Pounders.
The Libertators.
The Statue of Libertators. And then Jeremiah's Wall.
Yeah. Read them all again.
The Potato Pounders, the Blue Collar Bruisers, Smurf Turf Surge, Gem State Grinders, Statue of Libertators, Jeremiah's Wall, Danielson's Dozers.
I gotta go with Libertators.
Yeah.
That was
off
funny.
Off the cuff.
Yeah.
Just let it go.
Yeah, like you misspoke, but you just...
Yeah, cooked too. Right,
you tripped and fell on a treasure chest.
Exactly. A treasure.
Yeah, now we're just all mispronouncing everything. Okay. No tens, huh?
I don't ever give anything a 10.
Yeah, 10's hard.
It is kind of like a... It's like perfect.
A 10 has to be like, okay, we're...
Like, you know,
right,
it's
now
never going to be beat.
Exactly.
Like, what, yeah, if, like, next week I'm like, wait, it's like...
It's this one.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
Libertators was the closest.
Statue of Libertators. Okay.
We got a couple... I got a couple O-line nicknames just within the room.
With, like, for individual guys? Just
individual guys.
Okay. I would say Cage Casey is a good one. Like,
I call him Jar. For Jarhead, the movie.
Oh.
One time he let his wife cut his hair. It was gnarly. Kirsten, I love you, but she just did not do him right.
Jar.
And he looked like Jarhead, so I called him Jar.
Oh, was it? Oh, my.
I call him Jar.
Okay, that's funny. Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Hey, Jar. Oh, yeah. Like, I was going to say, Cage Casey, he's got a very nicknameable name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whoever we're facing next, whoever he's matched up, it's like, hey, homeboy's in the cage this week.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
So it's like, any D-end... Right end? Right end. Or left
Either.
End?
It depends on the field. Field boundary.
Okay.
College.
Yeah. Edge rusher that's lined up against Cage Casey the whole week. We can just be like, yo, hey, at so-and-so, you're in the cage, man.
Yeah.
Best of luck.
You're going four rounds.
Yeah. After the game, if there's no pressures, total knockout.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of want to know a little bit about the O-line room. I got some questions lined up.
Mm-hmm.
Who eats the most?
I would probably put Cage.
Cage. Jeez.
Cage is always in there with a snack. I've never seen him not eating in the O-line room. I would have said Ben last year because Ben just always had, like, a stack of candy in front of him. But Cage is just, like, he'll eat, like, 5 hard-boiled eggs in the morning and just, like, oatmeal. It's like he's just got mountains of food. I'm like, no, I had an energy drink, and that was it.
We're chilling.
Yeah.
But he's, yeah, good for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting, like, late first, early second round talks.
Oh, yeah.
Next year.
Yeah. Deserves all of it.
Absolutely.
That kid has an incredible build.
He's, yeah.
Oh, it is gnarly.
I saw him walk in and I was like, good Lord.
Large human being.
Yeah.
Very well put together, too. Like, he's got like 15% body fat, maybe more, maybe less, but.
That's still pretty good for what, 325?
Yeah.
Like right, yeah. 6'5"?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good build.
Gnarly stuff.
Keep it up, Jar. You're doing great.
Jarhead.
Who's the funniest out of the whole O-line room?
Zach Holmes, by far.
By far?
By far.
Is he just like a one-liner comedian? Or?
Oh, it's just like the most perfect timing you could ever think of for anything. And it's just his responses to everything are perfect. Like, there's not a sentence that I don't think he said that's made me at least chuckle.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so he's just like just naturally funny.
Yeah.
One of those guys.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because he stepped in at center last year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. When I went down, he and Jason went in, yeah.
Okay. Funny guy, Zach.
He is hilarious.
Who's the most underrated in the whole O-line room? Doesn't get enough credit.
We don't, like, especially in that room, pride ourselves on being very highly rated individuals. We want to be. You don't, like the saying is, as offensive linemen, you don't know they're doing a good or they're doing their job unless something bad happens.
That's very true.
Like your AC refrigerator, like you don't know it's bad until it stops working.
Yeah. Okay. I'll
put the whole unit.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Our whole unit needs more love.
Yeah.
That was a trick question. I was testing you, Mason. Okay. I think that's. Or I guess, yeah, who's the fastest?
The fastest?
Yeah.
I think it's technically Tayo. I don't know how to pronounce the last name. Omotumbio or something. Oh. He's a freshman last year.
Okay.
Fastest, probably. I'll put myself up there, though. I'm faster than Cage. I know that.
And let's Roger. Go. What's your 40?
We don't run 40s, but we ran a 10-yard split the other day.
Okay.
And mine was 1.59.
All right.
For sure, Cage's is like was like 1.62 or something.
You dusted him.
Oh yeah, no, I cooked him.
Yeah, I dusted.
Yeah, Roger's whole thing is like, if we ran 40 yards, you would beat me. But if I got you in 10, and I was like, no, you don't. You don't have me in anything.
Hold that to him.
Oh, I will.
Jol, New Mexico. That's funny.
Thinks he's everything.
Mm-hmm. Small town Jol. Okay. Yeah. Best restaurant in Boise. Go.
We're talking like sit down. And we're trying to enjoy a nice.
Yeah.
What's that place on the Green Belt? It's like an Italian spot.
Oh,
but
cafe.
It's on the Green. Is it Cafe Luciano's?
Yep.
Yeah, Luciano's.
Yeah, Cafe Luciano's.
I still haven't been there.
Great scenery.
Okay, I need to go there.
You see interesting people walking the Green Belt too.
Oh yeah, the people watching.
It's a good time.
Okay. All right, I'll have to try that. I know Italian. I've gone to Alla Vita. That's a great spot.
Mm.
There's one.
Asiago's is great.
There's a Luciano's in Garden City, different place. But that place, you walk in, you feel like you're in The Godfather. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah. It's perfectly. it's not cafe. Cafe, like, they're two different restaurants, but they have the same kind of name. Yeah.
Okay. So, best other food spot in Boise, non sit down. So, kind of like any food spot that hits.
Oh, man. I would probably go Tangos. Empanadas. It's a little tiny spot.
Someone else said that.
Oh, it's probably Marco.
It might have been Marco.
Marco.
Okay.
It's really good.
Yeah, that sounds really pretty good. Okay. Empanadas.
There's a couple other restaurants, like especially having Ahmed as a roommate for the past 4 years.
Yeah.
We went to so many Arabic restaurants out here, and there are so many more than you would ever like even think.
Yeah.
There's a ton of Arabic food out here, and it's all really good.
Oh, that's, I feel like they don't miss.
No.
They don't.
It's like all super fresh and just makes you feel good after you ate it too.
Yes. If they're barely speaking English, that's how you know it's good.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, all right, we're good.
We're chilling.
We're in good hands.
Yeah, exactly.
Madhuban, have you been there?
Uh-uh. What was that?
It's the one. It's an Indian restaurant off of State Street in Glenwood.
Okay.
That's my staple.
Really?
Like, they used to have an all-you-can-eat buffet of Indian food.
Oh, man.
Before COVID.
Oh, and then?
And then COVID. And I ask them, I'm like, hey, is it going to come back? And they go, maybe, we don't know. I'm just like. Still really good.
Yeah, Indian food hits.
So good. Well, I mean, is there a favorite spot Ahmed's taking you to?
Because
I could use more recs.
There's one right next to Tangos, is Foodland Market. That place is really good.
Okay.
It's kind of like a market. There's food in it, too.
Okay.
And then we always went to Ishtar Market.
Okay.
Where is that at? That's off of... Overland. I don't know where the other
connection
is, but it's on Overland somewhere.
Okay. Overland's got some good spots.
Yeah.
I know Ashton recommended it's like some taco place off Overland.
Oh.
I can't remember. It's the what kind of tacos is it? They're like smothered.
Birria?
Yes.
It's probably La Garnacha.
Yes, that's what it was.
Yeah, that place is good.
That place is fantastic.
There's another spot. Where's it at? It's kind of far. It's Pantera Market or something like that. That place is really good.
Oh, Ahmed's taking you to some markets. Okay.
Yeah, that place is Mexican food. That place is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So those are the spots you can kind of like pick and choose what's good. And...
Yeah, there's like a whole store of everything in it too.
Okay. Mason, what do you like to do in your free time?
What do I like to do in my free time?
You still playing video games?
I still play a little video games. I definitely have cut back a little bit just because it's like I find it like I find it hard to justify doing it now.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is a really big waste of my time, but I love it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Yeah. I've cut back a lot and because there's like some nights where you're playing video games and then it's when all your boys are like, all right, good night. Like, all right, I'm getting off. And then you look at the time and you go, oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of hits you.
Yeah, I'm like, I got to be up and... 3 hours, what am I doing?
Yeah. Any game that's consuming you? Are you used to?
Oh, man. There's a game called Pal World. Came out a couple like a year or two ago, maybe.
Okay.
It's just it's some niche games. There's Ark Survival.
Okay. I have not played that. Oh, is it a Pokemon? Game?
Pretty much.
Okay.
It's like Pokemon with guns.
Oh, that's stuff. Actually pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah. It's super cool. I played a lot. I'm pretty sure my Steam says I've played over like 500 hours of this game.
Oh, you play. Okay.
Yeah. And then that's when I kind of started realizing I had an issue, and I was like, I could probably pull back a little bit.
Yeah, Steam, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Freaking, why are you telling me my stats? That's what I don't want to see.
Yeah, they're like, congrats, you have a new milestone. You've wasted your entire life.
Oh, now we're getting into POW, not just POW. Jeez.
I spelled that wrong. I was like, why are we seeing Prisoner of War?
Yeah. I was like, wait, there is so much going on.
POW.
P-A-L. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anything else besides video games?
I like to do a lot of research on the body. Like I was saying, my goal is to be a strength and conditioning coach after football.
Nice.
So I do a lot of research on like, ways to maximize efficiency of the human body.
Kinesiology major.
Yes.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's all making sense now. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Strength and conditioning. All right, good for you, Mason.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can show them your little bicep. And you can be like, I've been through this.
Yeah. Do you want to tear your bicep?
Yeah.
No, we're doing more curls.
No, do this. Yeah, we're going to do more curls. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Well, it's been an hour. What'd you think?
It was great. It's a really cool conversation. Would do it again.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank goodness.
With the whole O-line in here?
I don't know if we would fit.
Nah, we would need.
This room is very warm for having the whole O-line
yeah.
in here.
Oh, it would be, yeah, it'd be a sauna.
Oof. It would be
Maybe
really
we'll come
bad.
To you guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, Cage, Roger, you. I've had you, Cage, and Roger so far.
Okay.
So we're missing, who's the fourth on the Hall?
Hall started last year.
Yep, yeah. I'm missing Hall.
Yeah. Schmidtstein. That's what I call him.
Schmidtstein. That's a great nickname. And then TBD on left guard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it could be Zach.
Zach? Yeah.
Could be one of the steals.
I would get Zach on here just for his personality.
That's what it sounds like.
He's a character and a half.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I couldn't say enough about Bronco Nation. I'm so thankful for you guys and everything you've done for my career and everything. Learning Boise has been phenomenal. Learning who I am has been phenomenal. I wouldn't be able to do that without Boise State football. And you guys are the main driving factor behind that. And I appreciate everything you guys have done and will continue to do for this great state, this great program. And we're excited to see you game one.
That's as good as it gets. You might have had the best one.
Thank you.
Out of everyone. That was really, really good. Ahmed's was pretty good, too.
I'm surprised you understood him.
Yeah. There was a little bit of a barrier.
It's a lot.
It was before last season too.
Oh, okay.
So it was still
a year removed of English.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good though.
Yeah.
It was really good. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's getting married soon. I'm gonna be in his wedding.
Congrats.
Yeah, congrats, Ahmed.
Is he gonna be here in Boise or in Egypt?
He's gonna be doing it here. Yeah.
That'll be sweet.
Peekaboo.
Okay.
Yeah. That's where his fiance is from.
Okay, gotcha. Payson?
Payson, yeah.
That's right. Congrats to the both of you. Yeah. That's really awesome stuff. Mm-hmm. What a night. What a day that was.
Oh, it was awesome.
Saw that whole video on the Lions, dude. Couldn't have been a better fit.
I was talking with his brother because I was there the night before, like with him, like setting everything up. And I was talking with the brother. I was like, that's the perfect spot for him to be at, like with Dan Campbell and that whole culture. Like, there's nobody better for that place than Ahmed.
And sixth round is a steal.
Oh, for sure.
I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Come on, NFL.
That was gnarly.
We did this with Shakir. Like, we're doing this again with Ahmed.
You're going to see.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's been episode 160. We're going to go ahead and just sign off. It's dinner time. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to drop the merch link down below. Get yourself a hat. Get yourself a shirt. Or a Statue of Libertators t-shirt or sweatshirt, whenever we can get that made. Because I like what I'm hearing.
I need another shirt made.
Yeah.
Mormon Manziel. Yeah. Maddox. That's what I need. I've been trying to find a place for the past 2 months.
That someone to make it?
Yeah. I think that'd be awesome.
See if we can cook something up. We'll send you some examples, see what we can do. We'll have fun with that. The Mormon Manziel. Okay. Okay, yeah, we got a lot of stuff coming your way. This will be great. And we'll see you next time. Don't know what it is, but yeah, TakeOver15 promo code for the merch store. And I'll also drop
all
below.
All caps.
Huh?
All caps. Take over.
All caps. I mean, come on. All right. And also, I'm gonna put Mason's NIL fund link in the description as well. Whether you're a business, whether you're an individual that wants to help him out.
A restaurant he just shouted out.
Exactly. Go ahead and click on that. Show a little love. All right? He's coming back. He's going to make it happen. Same with that whole O-line room. We appreciate you guys. Make sure to check that out in the description. Subscribe if you haven't. It goes a long way. Like the video. And we'll see you for 161. Peace.